remember sign up people soon.
The department DG with his team from the, I assume that the provinces are accompanying the DG. Just to give a background of this meeting. As we are all aware that we are busy with the budget processes, Parliament is busy with the budget processes, and the departments are expected to present their business plans to Parliament, and we have already begun that process. We met with Department of the with the National Department twice. And it was unfortunate that the presentations that were brought before the portfolio committee were not satisfying the portfolio committee for many reasons. One of them is that the department is supposed to align its business plan with the State of the Nation address. That is a policy prescript. Once the president has spoken, all of us, we follow suit. Nobody is expected to deviate from what the directive the president has given. In human settlements, we are aware that the president has directed us to upgrade informal settlements. 400 households should receive land and tenure by 2014. All of us here, we are aware of that. We are aware that we have a responsibility to ensure that we build integrated human settlements which are sustainable. So seemingly the policy was adopted in 2004, but what we have observed as the portfolio committee that up to this day we have not yet tried to achieve that. We have been undertaking the oversight to various provinces. Some of you here can attest to that. We still continue to build houses at the periphery where people don't have social amenities. No schools, no clinics, nothing. We know every day you are saying to us you are not responsible for schools and whatnot, but there is an Intergovernmental Relations Act has been there. There is a cooperative governance principle that should guide us as figures on others, and it is even difficult to adhere to those principles within the department itself. That's what we have observed as the portfolio committee, that internally within the Department of Human Settlements, you are not adhering to that. You are working in silos amongst yourselves. The managers are taking this in, even within the department itself. So, as the portfolio committee, we have got a responsibility. We have been assigned a duty by the Constitution to oversee that the departments adhere comply to the various legislations of this country. Aliko when Nikasha Lilo is the figure or teaching in tongue. Otherwise, that budget, not going to be released. Yawsalanjipa is going to be a disgrace. Bonagaluti, the South Africa were not serious to deliver. Because that budget, it has to be passed by this portfolio committee. And you are not going to pass something just even I would stick a lane. I am the land policy. So, DG, we hope that today you are bringing something that is going to assist this portfolio committee to perform its oversight effectively. With those words, you are welcome, free to talk, free to raise your challenges, but ninga lament, no lament, real challenges. I remember in one of the MINMEC I attended, I was looking at the challenges. Challenges were raised, this is my second term, and unfortunately I've been in this committee, I was serving in this committee, even in the last term. Those challenges that were there by 2004, they were still listed. Hey, what wrong with you, lad? I think now, we're not going forward. We're not expecting to have the very same challenges as the corner the last time. We have to deal with those challenges, and then we entertain the new challenges that are coming in. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, good morning. Colleagues, we thank the committee once again for the opportunity to present to you, as per your request, a consolidated plan.
DG, I'm sorry, I've forgotten to because we don't know most of the members of your team, and they don't know us, who are the members of the portfolio committee. There might be people who are advantaged, but others are disadvantaged. So can you just make a quick introduction? I'll start with the members. I'll start with those two members that have crossed the floor. They are members who have crossed the floor.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Butch Stein, a correction chairperson. I think there's an attempt to redeploy us to the
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you've already introduced me. My name is Archibald Figler, and member of this committee.
My name is Richard, and I'm a member of the committee.
Member of the committee.
Abandu Machoba, Ilunga Le Committee.
Doris Lavute, Ilunga Le Committee. Poha Sugono, the local committee.
Mashishi AC, member of the committee.
Adinaz Mongrane, Mama Unam Setambu, Usta, welcome. DG, that is Mamdaha. DG.
Tabane Zulu, DG Human Settlements.
Gaster Sharply, HOD Human Settlements, Eastern Cape.
Kaiwa.
Mbulelo Changala, HOD Human Settlements, Western Cape.
Awa Kaya Bonga.
Tupi Mukhatla, HOD Human Settlements, Northwest.
Good morning, my name is Anton Lawrence with the National Department. Neville Cheney, National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, I'm Keiza Matatwa, Chief Director of Human Settlement in the Free State.
Good morning. Oh, Eastern Cape. Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning everyone, the name is Sean, from UNICEF. My old friend.
Thanks, Chair, for the introduction. We took it upon ourselves, Chair, as per the directive and the advice of this committee to consolidate these plans as per the background that you have outlined. And the National Department convened for 2 days last week, Thursday and Friday, with our colleagues from different provinces to try and work out a strategy of presenting to you what we regarded as critical areas that you wanted us to focus on. That exercise was undertaken, Chair, with all colleagues from different provinces, where we then put together a presentation for the committee, a consolidated presentation, Chair, which we submitted to the committee. However, I must indicate, Chair, and I know that I might receive a jump off for this one, and I would like to apologize to committee members that we never stop working until we get into this committee. We decided to look into the final presentation with all colleagues from provinces before we came to you Unfortunately, we had to do that yesterday because of logistics of getting all colleagues to hear before we present to you. And that led into some changes effected in the last product that is going to be presented to you. Unfortunately, we felt we can't present without going through the document with colleagues and make sure that the information contained is factual, is correct, is accurate for your consumption. So you will notice during the presentation, which the team that we have assigned the task is presenting, that there are some changes, in some instances, quite fundamental changes for your consumption. So we apologize for that, and I take responsibility for that, because the only time we could all meet was only yesterday evening to look into the final document for yourselves. We have a team that we have assigned to do the presentation, Chair. We should be led by Anton and Neville, and from there we will hand over to you, Chair, for comments, for clarifications, and for questions. Thank you once more for this opportunity, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Over to you, Neville.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, as the DG has indicated, we did sit down with the provinces, and the product of what we've got today is confirmation of the provincial business plans. Once we've gone through the presentation, the respective provinces will comment where required. But what we need to be able to sort of indicate to the committee is this represents a collective product of the department together with the provinces. And where there are shortcomings which you might want to highlight, I think what we can indicate to the DG is a commitment to re-look at that, as well as ensure that the collective political priorities are represented. But we'll go through the presentation and we can then interrogate it with the assistance of the various provinces.
Thank you, Chairperson. As indicated by both the DG and the COO, the presentation and the format is familiar to you. Something which we've worked on since fortnight ago. I think for ease of reference, the amendments that have been made, as DG has alluded, have been highlighted in yellow, so you'll be able to pick up immediately which figures have required adjustment. I think it's important to reiterate that this is an aggregation of the provincial numbers, so it is a high-level presentation, and that the specificities in respect of the various provinces would be provided by the relevant heads of the provinces represented today. As you correctly indicated, our priorities are first and foremost outcome 8, but in addition to that, there are a few additional priority areas that the department seeks to address during the coming financial year, and we'll get into that in the presentation. The allocations, these remain the same. We just again for your information, for your noting, that the human settlements allocation for this financial year has decreased as a consequence of a portion being reallocated to the Urban Settlements Development Grant. And then the following slides are per province, just an indication of just an indication or breakdown, a crude breakdown of the targets that have been set by the various provinces. So in the instance of the Eastern Cape, just under 13% of its budget allocation will be going to informal settlement upgrading, 7% will be going to the affordable rental program, and 10% of its budget allocation will be going to the rectification program. think at the outset, I just need to again talk to make reference to the various approaches and strategies that have been adopted by the provinces. So and this is something which we had briefed the committee on previously. In the Free State, a fair amount, a fair chunk of its allocation, just under 50%, will go into informal settlement upgrading, as well as affordable rental. A significant amount of its allocation will also be spent on rural housing, and I think it may be appropriate here to also refer to or make reference to the fact that rural housing, or let's put it this way rather, that informal settlement upgrading by no means implies that it's happening only in the large urban centres. I think there's a conception, in our view sometimes a misconception, that it is confined to the larger urban centres. So you will find that in some of the slides there is a fair amount or fair percentage that the provinces have dedicated to rural housing, and that can be explained by those relevant provinces. But the argument here in those instances is that informal settlement upgrading happens across settlements, and they are not necessarily confined to the larger urban centres. For the benefit of the committee, one of the highlighted sections here, just a reminder that those are the numbers that have been adjusted subsequent to the original submission of the presentation. These are the figures for KwaZulu-Natal, and here we have just such an example where a quarter of its budget is going to the rural housing program, which also subsumes informal settlement upgrading. The number for Limpopo, and again, a similar case. Mpumalanga's figures, there's a fairly even split here between, or just under even split between its informal settlements and its rural upgrading program. In the case of the Northern Cape, just a point of explanation around the affordable rental program. You see that 4 million has been set aside, and yet there are no units. The reason very simply is that for this financial year, and we can get confirmation from Renita on this, is that for this financial year, that 4 million will by and large be used for the planning of those units. And we'll give the Northern Cape an opportunity to elaborate on that specifically. In the Northwest, their numbers remain by and large the same. The rectification number is 177, and they're spending just under 10 million rand on their rectification program. In the Western Cape, a substantial portion of their budget will be going to the informal settlement program. Under rectification, spending 6 million rand on rectification on an estimated 2,000 units, and I'm not going to elaborate on that. I'm going to give the HOD the opportunity to talk around exactly what that 6 million is about. Chairperson, and then we've got the final three slides which really would give you a good sense of how the budget vote is going to be used. The first column there gives you again an indication of who's getting the lion's share. So it's Gauteng, KZN, and the Eastern Cape who get approximately 58% of the budget. The second column gives you an aggregated total of the provinces in respect of their commitments to upgrading. These are specific targets, not budgets. So in the case of Gauteng, they're looking, in terms of their upgrading program, 31,000 units, Mpumalanga 10,
16,000, the Northwest 13,800, and ditto for the rental program, affordable finance, and the rural housing. You can see there that there is a the rectification number which raised specific concern at our last briefing has been adjusted significantly, and is now up to just under 18,000 units that that will be rectified over this financial year. The following slide just presents those numbers in a slightly different form. Just over 5 billion rand will be spent on slum upgrading, 2 billion on the rural housing program, and 330 million on the rectification program. Respectively, that equates to just under 34% of this year's budget allocation for slum upgrading, just under 14% for rural housing, and 2.2% for the rectification program. Another point that I think we need to just remind the committee of, the 9.8% for rental is confined to public sector rental. So that is what the department is going to put out in terms of making inroads into the outcome 8 target. It does not take into consideration private sector rental that is also going on to the market. And then the final row there, which is 26.24%, that is a percentage of the inroads that we are making into the outcome 8 target. So for slum upgrading, that's 26% of the total 400,000 that the President indicated in his State of the Nation address last year. And the 11% is the number of public sector rental that we are making toward the overall rental target. Chairperson, this is our last slide, the high level slide, and this is really just for ease of reference for yourselves. The numbers have been presented in the slides previously, but we've just pulled them together in one slide, so you're getting an indication here that 34% of the total budget is going into slum upgrading, 13% rental, and 0.4% for the gap market. And it gives you a breakdown per province of where their money would be spent for this financial year.
Thanks, Chair. I think the one issue that we need to sort of just highlight is the fact that, particularly in relation to outcome 8 targets, at the time, and we've raised this, and it's particularly an issue that I'm not sure if the portfolio committee has had progress reports on the program of action, which we might want to look at, because that gives us a more detailed understanding of what the outcome 8 targets, because notwithstanding the numerical targets that the President has included, there's a number of substantial behavioral and developmental shifts that have occurred. So when we look at the performance agreement and the delivery agreement, one has to take that the issue is also about the reprioritization of how we're doing things differently. And the focus, for example, on human settlements and particularly informal settlements is how do we improve household life. The second issue is, I just want to reiterate the point that Anton made, that informal settlement upgrading takes place of informal households in rural areas as well. So if we're providing water, if we're providing sanitation, and we're providing a house to a household that's in a rural area, I think the misconception has been that, you know, you can only have informal settlement upgrading in an urban setting, but that's not necessarily the case. And I think the shared experience is that we've got to be able to focus on the rural housing aspect. And if you look at what's been presented by the provinces, there's been a huge shift to accept and realize that fact as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. No, I think there is a shift, but yeah, it's of us one time with you. How far have we gone? But there is a shift from what we observed in the previous meeting. I'm going to give the opportunity to the members. Or did you want to say something before?
Small issue, Chair, maybe before members comment, that as you'll see that the presentation has taken a form of the units, the province that we'll be focusing on in the current financial year, or the new financial year, so to speak. We have also developed a list of projects that will be undertaken for the consumption of the members from each province. Where are those projects? Where will be those projects, and so on. So the presentation does not go further to that level where you further
okay.
outline where specific projects are, but the information is available for members to peruse it so that we can be able to effectively deal with the oversight responsibility.
Okay.
So all provinces have that information, and if you need to peruse it or you want us to play it as well, we can do that information. I think that's another critical part of the presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chichi. I think we can just interact with the first presentation, and then we'll see if, because we don't have much time, but we can just flash it on the screen after we have interacted. Honorable Siglan, Honorable Glory, Honorable Jobe, Honorable Machoba, Honorable Doris, Honorable Tole, Honorable Dane. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My focus will be in the Eastern Cape ratification, where I see there is 852 sites. I didn't know it's sites, I thought it's units. But I just want to find out, where are these sites, Chairperson, for the ratification, because I'm having a problem. There is four towns that I know that they need ratification, and some of the houses need to be demolished and be rebuilt. Now, I need a clarity. If it's the sites, can you clarify where? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lori.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I want to say thank you very much for the presentation and for the hard work that's gone into this. And there is a big change here. And also to say that I think this is the first of a very meaningful consultation here, you know, just on the eve of the budget, and to have all the HODs and many others here responsible in the provinces for their budgets. Just a couple of things that I need some clarity on, and that is your overall allocation, I would imagine, needs to have three noughts put onto it. I don't see anywhere there. It seems to be short, because you're talking about two million. It's billion, right? Okay, that's fine. Then the other thing, just a comment, when you spoke about the logistics and not being able to get together, how often do you, with your provincial counterpart, sort of do a teleconference? I would imagine that is very much available today, and so you can do that. Then on the figures that have been presented here, and I might be stupid, but I don't get an add-up of the per province back to their initial allocation. Now, there's obviously stuff missing. So I'd like some clarification of that. And when you talk about the percentage allocated for these various the housing developments, is it the total of their total allocation that you're talking about? So the 12.85%, for example, under the Eastern Cape, your informal settlement upgrading, would that be 12.85% of their total budget, the 2.177 billion? And then I want to just, something which has started to come out for us, and that is, do the provinces know their beneficiaries, particularly in their informal settlements? And I say this because, and I know there's been an explanation about the affordable rental, but many, we are finding as we go around, that many of the people in the informal settlements are there job seeking, and they've come in from somewhere else. So really what they need is not a house in that informal settlement, they need to have some rental accommodation. So do the provinces know their databases and their beneficiary lists? There's something going on there.
Thank you.
And then, one more chair, and that is, I think, and probably you will be able to give us this, but when you give us the sites and the accommodation, you know, your rental accommodation and so on, what is the backlog in the provinces regarding that, so that we can get some sense of a balance of what it is we've still got to do and where we go? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Ndlovu.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Part of my questions have already been raised, but I just want to add to your question on rectification. I noticed that there's quite a big difference in the amount of work that is to be done in rectification. I'm more interested in that percentage of the Eastern Cape. But what does it mean generally, this big difference? Eastern Cape is 10%, the next province, for instance, Free State is 0, Gauteng comes closer, 8%, 1%, and so on and so forth. But what is responsible for this large variation? Does it have anything to do with the quality, for example? Why do we have to spend so much money on rectification? Now, the second question, Chairperson, is part of it also has been raised on the informal settlement. Again, here, there's quite a good amount of money that's going to be spent on upgrading the informal settlement. My question would have been something similar to what Mr. Bowman has said. How permanent is this upgrading in the informal settlement? Are we putting up permanent houses which are going to form permanent settlements, or are we just upgrading them for a particular period, knowing that at some point things might change with those informal settlements? I'm saying this because some of the informal settlements in the country generally are situated in very awkward areas, very awkward places. If we are going to spend money on them, are we spending this money knowing that these people are here for good, or these people one day will move from this area? And Chairperson, the last question is on land acquisition. I just wanted to find out here, what are your constraints, for instance, in acquiring land for houses for human settlements? Are there any? If so, what kind of questions? Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Another question?
Thanks, Chair. Mine is with Free State. Also on rectification, I said that the units is none, and size none, budget none. I don't know whether that are no rectification, which is needed in Free State. Same applies to Limpopo. The elevation, there's none, no units, no budget. Yeah, I'm just so concerned about these two. Otherwise, I'm covered.
Thank you, Chair. My concern also is on the ratification part of it. I can see here, Chairperson, that the ratification program is taking a large chunk of the budget. Do you have a turnaround strategy? I mean the provinces that have this ratification program. Is there a turnaround strategy to ensure that houses that will be built during this financial year will not be ratified? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Hakbone.
Thanks, Chairperson. I need clarity. Are we in any way including the blocked project when we talk about ratification or informal settlement upgrading? The reason why I'm asking is the blocked project. I'm from Kurum and I'm from the Northern Cape and I work in Northern Cape. Yeah. During the weekend, as I was driving around Kuruman, there are blocked projects that are obviously was have poor workmanship because some of the walls have fallen. So I need to know, and if you are talking about 100 units, where about in the Northern Cape are they going to be? Let's say thank you.
Okay, another question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Other questions have been asked. So mine is only on the Limpopo in the informal settlement upgrading. I just want to check about the 3,000 sites that they are talking about it here. Is it spread the whole province? Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Honorable Tole.
First of all, what I want to know is they are talking about upgrading of informal settlement. What actually are they talking about? Because they must tell us, because they are talking about formalization of informal settlement, but they are talking about upgrading. That's my first question, if they can help us. And the other one is that of land acquisition, how many hectares are they looking at? Because we have to, do, if they are funding, we must know how many hectares they province. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is to the department, really. The last time they appeared before us, they indicated that, in fact, not all the provincial plans were signed off. I'd like to know whether, in fact, this time around, they have signed off on what is in front of us. That's the first question. Then, Chairperson, a general comment regarding the rectification. I would like to suggest that we get that we ring fence the amount spent on rectification, perhaps like we're doing with the development grant.
Mm.
Because it's important that we take cognizance of the amounts that's being spent, because it's money that's being taken away from having to develop new houses for people still waiting and having to go back. So we need to track that very carefully. So my plea is that it be ring fence, that we know exactly how much it is. And ultimately, it's coming out of the grant, which, to my mind, it should not happen. It should be a separate amount. Then, Chairperson, this question links on to something that Member Borman asked, and it's perhaps not quite the same question. But when I look at every one of these provinces, when I look at the percentage of allocation, to my mind, they should add up to 100%. It links up to a question that you asked, if there's something else that's maybe been left out. But I'm thinking that if we're saying we've got X percent for informal settlement upgrading, it's a percentage of the total grant. So when I add them all up, they should add up to 100%. Now, 8 provinces doesn't. And it, in some cases, it's 40%. So my question is, where does the other 60% go to? And I may add that the one that comes closest with 99%+ is the Western Cape. Then the land acquisition, Chair. When Member Borman and myself were in a Treasury last week, 2 metros made a presentation, and they all spoke about land acquisition, and not one of them mentioned the HDA. And in some discussions with them afterwards, there were metros that in fact indicated they'd never even heard of the HDA, which is very surprising, some of the officials. So my question is, when they're putting money aside for land acquisition, as they perhaps should, will in fact the HDA be either assisting or will that money be transferred to them so that they can do the acquisition? Because as far as I know, that is certainly one of their core mandates, that's to get the acquisition of land. And then, Chairperson, I raised this, the last question in the previous presentation. And again, with respect to the department, it leads me to believe that we are, you know, numbers are being put together and we've been fed these things. And unless you look at it closely, we tend to accept it. But one of the questions I asked last week, and they said they'd go back and look at it, or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, was the different, and I expect it to be different, but not by a huge amount, is the different amounts that provinces allocate per unit. Now, I find a very quick calculation here indicate under rectification, for example, in some cases we're looking at, I'm not too sure now if this is 6,600 rand per unit, to 3,750, to 37,000, to 80,000. I understand, Chair, that every one of them don't need the same amount of work, but if you average it out in terms of demolition and then some that only need rectification, there shouldn't be such a big discrepancy in the amount per unit. It leads me to believe that there is some thumb-sucking going on, people are trying to make things balance, and there's not really good research going into this. And for example, Chair, in Limpopo, I think it is, I mean, they've got a budget of 55 million for informal settle upgrading and 3,000 sites. They don't seem to know how many units it's going to yield, which reinforces the fact that they actually not, this is not based on any real research. And it certainly is worrisome, and if the department has signed off on this, then I think it's almost a double jeopardy that they also don't check that. You know, I'm worried. We're getting stuff that's put on paper just to keep us happy. And as we've said so many times, when we go onto the ground, we find a real different picture. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. DJ, I think you are going to assist us on the issue of land acquisition. I don't know if you have you have coordinated this with the municipality, because the municipalities, they do have a budget. Remember, in Newcastle was boasting to say they've been buying land for their development for quite a long time. They were even not interested to have the services of HDA. So I'm worried about that one, about that coordination. And if we have these huge sums of amounts that we are going to purchase land, I do think that we are referring to the private land, and there's nothing that is mentioned, because I think we have to acquire land from the, I mean, state land before. So, and some of the provinces, I think we have got quite a lot of land there, because even EHDA, in terms of their reporting, they have gone an extra mile of acquiring land. So I'm having a problem if we can have such huge, and there's also NHSC that is assisting in the purchasing of private land. So I don't know the coordination on that aspect. How far have you gone? So I think you can assist the committee members there. You are welcome, Gauteng. Response?
Chair, on the issue of land acquisition, I will agree that the coordination is not as comprehensive as it should be in terms of the HDA. As much as they've been on board for a fairly short period of time, but HDA is currently at a stage where it has, to a larger extent, reflected the quantum for land acquisition from a state perspective. And what needs to happen is to coordinate the human settlements development aspect around the land that has been identified, because the land identified from a state perspective is categorized for different purposes for development. I think it's a coordination that we need to synthesize with the relation of the plans that we have. I must say that that level of engagement has not been comprehensive. But they have indicated, and we have had a meeting with them, where they've reflected where the allocation of the land from a state perspective is available. What needs to happen is how that land can be best utilized for human settlements perspective. What we see at the moment, it's more of a, what I'll regard as a silos type of arrangement from a land acquisition perspective, which we need to deal with. And that could assist in reducing even the numbers in terms of the amounts of money that are being spent for land perspective. So we haven't get into that gear, but the HDA, the good work that they've done is to reflect exactly where the parcels of land are from a state perspective and for what purposes can they be used. So I think it's an engagement, Chair, that we have to take with them with immediate effect, which could also reduce some of the sums and also then begin to use the limited amount of money we have for this budget in other more demanding areas and increase our delivery in terms of the unit. So that's the next level that we need to do. That engagement, Chair, has not been effective, but at least we have received the parcels, and I will be dealing with that matter as well as part of the implementation strategy for this financial year.
Okay.
Thanks.
There were... Aaron, can you respond to some issues,
yes,
and then we'll allow
the
province to
do it? The presentation has indicated to Member Bowman and Stein the percentages will not add to would not add up to 100%. The presentation itself focused on the key output rate and other priority areas. So there are other programs that provinces make use of. And have indicated that they're going to commit funding to. So this presentation really confined itself to outcome 8 and some other and the other key priority areas, and that accounts for those percentage totals in the last column not adding to 100%. Your question, the clarity seeking question around the percentage of the allocation, you're correct. By way of example, 84% in the Western Cape, that's 84% of its allocation that would be going to the slum upgrading program, and that's hopefully for the other provinces. Around the issue of slum upgrading and its definition, in the interest of brevity, The by and large are two options that are afforded developers. That is either on-site or off-site. In the case of on-site, there are two phases. The first deals with what is typically referred to as site and service, and then secure tenure, and then the second phase is actual shelter provision, and that also, you'll see in the table, equates to sites and units. Then, of course, there's the off-site in instances where upgrading is not desirable for various reasons, in which case other programs are in use. So that very crudely, and we're happy to, our DDG policy is here, and would be able to give a formal detailed response, but for the benefit of this discussion. The final comment that I'd like to just make around the housekeeping issue around business plans, I think as our point of departure, we act within the prescripts of the Division of Revenue. At this point, it's the Division of Revenue Bill and not the Act yet. We understand that it is to be promulgated or signed off by the end of this week. Now, in terms of those prescripts, the provinces are meant to submit business plans. I think DG's introduction would have given sufficient indication that while, and I'm happy to report that if we say that all of the provinces have submitted signed business plans, we have received those. But as DG has alluded,
confirmation of those numbers at last night's discussion. So while we have signed business plans, those are the, if I may call it, the contractual obligation that provinces have in respect of its budget allocation. And quite understandably, if those numbers change, the Division of Revenue Act makes allowance for the business plans to be subsequently changed. So, yes, the short answer in response to the question, we have signed off business plans, but given that there has been a slight tweaking and reconsideration of those numbers, the business plans would subsequently also need to be amended. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there were specific provinces where there were questions, but I think it will be proper to make justice, because even those provinces where there were no specific questions that were directed to them, it is important for them to give that information to the portfolio committee, because that is information we are going to use. Once you get out of that door, we use that information. Next week we phone you, next week we send our researcher, that week we do anything, so that we find out what you were telling us in this room. That's what we are going to implement. So, but let's begin with the... Oh, Mr. Singh, before that.
And the provinces may then respond to that as well. I accept the answer regarding the percentages not necessarily totaling up 100%. However, Chairperson, if outcome 8 has been defined as a priority, I think the provinces need to then respond why in some cases they only spend up to 40% in terms of this allocation that we've been given on outcome 8. In other cases, it is 27%, for example. So it's then a small percentage of the total budget that's been allocated to outcome 8. So they may want to address that as well. Okay. Thanks.
I think that is very crucial, PG. I'm sure you have taken that one. It is very crucial. But I don't think you are going to be able to respond to now, but we have to attempt to respond to those provinces. They have to try and respond to that. But at the end of the day, each and every cent that has been allocated by the National Treasury, we are going to follow it up. Unfortunately, I want to ask the accountants, they have such a chance. Don't take taxes. Little members of the committee, they are busy. Those members are very busy. They don't have time to count. No. Ask your baller. Northern Cape, would you like to kick that?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just have a slide on Northern Cape there? No. The one that reflects, yes. I think with the project areas, if you do have it, with
have all the project areas here.
Okay.
But it's going
but
to
don't
take
have a slide.
No, it's okay. Going to take a little bit of time, but maybe I'll leave the Excel spreadsheet with the secretary so that she can make copies.
All right.
We basically allocated, you've given it electronically, Chairperson, and it's gone through to your office electronically.
Okay.
We basically allocated the $322 million to various projects throughout the Northern Cape. As per the allocation that is on the slide there, what you would find, Chairperson, that the allocation for the informal settlement upgrade is only 650 units, but we are doing other programs, for example, the IRDP, Integrated Residential Development Program, where we're building 2,158 units. It's also in an informal area, but we're using a different subsidy program for it. But it's in an informal area. We're also building 50 houses for individuals, you know, who want to build their own homes in terms of the individual subsidy. And then project link subsidy, we also are building houses, 422 units. So basically we're utilizing the total 322 million for projects throughout the province in terms of this Excel spreadsheet, which we're going to give to the portfolio committee. And one of the members requested that, do we know the beneficiaries in our informal settlements? Yes, we do. We will be able to provide that to the portfolio committee in terms of saying these are the beneficiaries and this is their income profile and what kind of units they're looking for, rental, ownership or whatever in informal settlements. The Northern Cape's backlog is about 48,000. It's going to take years to complete those houses because of our small allocation. We're only able to build about 3,000 and so odd units per annum based on our allocation. Chipperson, and the block projects which the Member of Parliament was talking about in the Northern Cape, those projects are in Kuruman, that's Mochibistat, Batlaros, Siodin, and Pampirstat. The north, yeah, in Makujane. The northwest province. This is the cross boundary project which we have not completely taken over yet. They need a lot of rectification and so on. Northwest province has promised us that in this financial year they will rectify those houses and pass it back to us. So currently it's within the jurisdiction of the Northern Cape, but we haven't actually taken it over until the Northwest Province rectifies those houses.
When was that? 2 years back. No, it's
not
2 years back. 2007. When were we there?
3 years.
Okay, continue.
But we're working with the Northwest Province Chairperson and we're trying to finalize it and ensure that in this financial year we're going to finish those projects. And the 100 houses we ring fence, Chairperson, it's Soul City in this financial year, that is in Kimberley, but we're going to look at other projects as and when funds become available. Yeah, that's basically it, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions to follow up questions to Northern Cape? Honorable Rochas?
I don't stay in Northern Cape. It's also very big, and I'm not sure exactly. It's just I'm not sure whether the question of affordable rent, as you are saying there, zero is. The point that we are raising in general, I thought that Kimberley, by and large, also attracts people. It was the only viable town in the Northern Cape. But we are saying that affordable rental is not an issue. Affordable housing finance, and also there's no need for land acquisition. And then I'm not sure whether the slides there, but also, the capacity, what is the capacity of your department in delivering? Because I guess that the Director General also based entirely the totality of the number of units that are going to be built also include all the provinces. But sometimes I'm not sure, Director General, whether when you allocate these resources, you also measure the capacity of the province to do the work just to avoid what happened of taking away the man at the end of the financial year. And then, because it creates some problems generally. But I'm very happy that there's no need for rental accommodation in our area. It's a very strange way, because I would have thought that is a bigger problem in another case. And that's an issue that I wanted just to raise. But also, the point really that we also wanted, bearing in mind that we're saying this year is about job, and job creation. I just hope that the directors or head of department that they present, they must also assist us in terms of the number of jobs that may be created. You may not be accurately right, but surely we can't be here nationally, but we don't even know whether they are applying a mind in dealing with the question of job creation. And then I think, of course, the budget I accept is very small. But also it's based on fair allocation anyway. It's based on fair allocation. But it's a point that I think we should look at it here. And okay. It would be very interesting to raise issues. But also, the another point that I would love the HOD to raise, mindful of time sometimes, is just
attempts are you making to encourage cooperatives?
Yeah.
Do you have cooperatives in your areas? They are working, they're not working. It's just important that we should get the totality of your information. Of course, not necessarily in detailed form, but just assist us to understand exactly what is happening. As we approve the budget on, I think we are debating it on Tuesday next week, at least you use the information that you are giving us here. I don't want to go there and stand and say, Northern Cape, no rent, no affordable rentals needed there, and then members of parliament who are members of the states in Northern Cape say, but it's the wrong way of putting things. I'm just saying that we should reactivate about some of the information.
Thank you very much. I think it is important that point that was not honorable to chat. Because affordable rental is one of the state of the nation address priority. So if we don't mention anything, and if you are saying we are planning, I don't understand what is planning. When do you begin to plan? Can you tell us really? You plan today because the budget has come out yesterday. When do you begin to plan? That question is posed to all provinces now. Each and every province should tell us, when do you begin to plan? Because I don't think planning is something that you are going to start now. You should have started long time ago, and then when the budget arrives, you kickstart, and then you do whatever according to the resources you have when you are implementing. And then the issue of I've already the issue of job creation. It's not something that we're going to, we are raising it now. It is there. National Treasury has raised it. The President in his State of the Nation address has raised it. He even said each and every department is expected to have initiatives. So we're expecting you to at least to present those initiatives, estimate, to say in Eastern Cape, unfortunately I'm going to make an example for Eastern Cape and they interest the Eastern Cape. So we are estimating that the human settlements program is going to create so many jobs. We know that you are not creating jobs. You task other people to create jobs. So you have to have those estimates. So it's a homework for all of us here. Yeah. So Honorable Machaba, your follow up.
To the AJU team, there was a disaster which happened in Bagley West, which was very bad. I didn't hear you mentioning the house now.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I requested the breakdown of the ratification project, the 100 units.
Okay. No, we will receive all of us those breakdowns. Let's agree that we won't get them here. But I think it's going to be circulated to all of us. Honorable Stein?
Thank you very much. I'd just like to know, what is the estimated increase per annum in the backlog, or is it sort of more or less static? And then linked to that, to follow up on Richard's question, the Northern Cape, because of their small budget, tends to spend all their money. But the importance really is, do they have the capacity to increase their delivery? Because it's something I think we need to then look at. Otherwise, it's going to take, if the backlog is static, it's going to take, I don't know, 15, 16 years to eradicate that. And we all know that it's not static. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Response,
Chair, there is a need for affordable rental housing in the Northern Cape. most definitely in Kimberley, in Upington, and in the Kuruman area also, and there's a project in Obox that we have. That $4 million that we allocated there was to undertake a feasibility. So before you start building houses, you basically need to do a feasibility exercise. You need to do town planning. You need to do surveying for that area. You need to put infrastructure and so on before a top structure is built. So that is why, hence the allocation of $4 million, but we're definitely going to be building a rental housing in the Northern Cape. So this is just the start of saying, listen, there's some money to undertake your feasibility exercise, your scoping exercise for those areas, and then receive business plans so that we could fast-track rental housing. And hopefully by 2014, we want to achieve our target of 1,864 rental units in the Northern Cape. Rental units are basically expensive. They cost more than the subsidy quantum, which is 54650. It basically ends up one rental unit can cost between 150 to 200,000. And in the Northern Cape, it's a vast province. We need to build houses in every little nookie corner, little towns to keep our people satisfied. And you notice that there is no economy of scale. If we take a large project in Northern Cape, like 2,200 houses, I'll take a typical project which is going on very well in Obox. We build 100 houses a year. So it kind of makes it very difficult, but that is the challenge we're faced with. Coming to capacity within the department, Chairperson, we have the capacity to spend money. We actually need more money in the province in these large-scale projects, which are running and taking a long time over the MTEF period. We have 5 regional offices in the 5 districts that are headed by senior managers, and in consultation with the municipalities, we are performing the housing functions. And the job creation strategy, Chairperson, the province is providing stats to the Department of Public Works. For the 2011 financial year, we have created jobs with 1,372 jobs. We estimate to create 1,400. It would be more in the new financial year. As a province, we are giving emphasis to that job creation. And the stats we provide to Public Works is number of male, female, youth, and disabled people that we give jobs to. The human settlement jobs that are created are semi-skilled and, you know, like plumbing, labor, foundation, bricklayers, and so on. And then we also create jobs for skilled jobs, for example, the engineers, architects, and the BEE companies, and so on. That is as far as jobs is concerned. The houses for that have been damaged in Barclay West, we have allocated funding for emergency housing, $2.4 million. We're working on those business plans. As soon as we finalize it, we will be going out on tender shortly so that we can actually rectify those flood-damaged houses in Barclay West. The breakdown for rectification, I will provide it to the portfolio committee, but those 100 units that are on that slide, it's actually for Soul City in the Northern Cape. It's called Soul City. That's the project. The percentage increase in terms of our housing need is between 2 to 3%, but it's one cannot say it's static because there's a lot of migration inwards and outwards into the Northern Cape, and I'm sure with the capacity we have, we will be able to kind of manage the we're currently managing the funding that's being allocated to us, and I'm sure we could manage double that amount. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. The next one, next province, it's in T. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'd like Neville to please put up the I've got a picture of a house just to visualize the Eastern Cape. Honorable Chair, regarding rectification, we have given part of the submission a detail of the projects that are under rectification in the Eastern Cape. I want to make a very disturbing admission that every single project in the Eastern Cape has a story. Every single project. There's not a single project without without a story. And the challenge the challenge is trying to say, if you can't resolve the whole problem at once, what is it that we can do, and rather target particular areas and projects. if you look at our rectification budget, that's only our current contracts, Honorable Chair and members, and current obligations. We have surrendered our rectification program as a pilot to the national department. As a provincial department, we are saying, if we cause this problem, how can you trust us to fix it? So rather help us so that we look forward as a province and you help us fix up the trail of if it's devastation at the back. So and there's a range of reasons why I think the honorable members are fully aware of the challenges around rectification. I don't have to go into that detail. The number of, so we've got 39 million that we've been given from national to deal with the, we've done 35,000 assessments. Honorable Chair, I'm going to mislead this committee if I tell you how many houses need rectification in the province. The exercise to count the houses is a very expensive exercise. And what we're currently doing is we are thumbsucking the numbers. We're estimating on, and it's what we're saying is, let's not focus on how many do we need, because we know the whole province has got a problem. Our current focus, Honorable Chair, via the political directors in the province, is to focus on the Tatado region. The Tatado region has got two extremes. It's got the BNG project in Mzambe, with the Thornhill, a good example of human settlement, and then it's got the bad effects of planning and organization of government in Sundays River Valley. I don't know if you're aware of the challenges there. So we're focusing on saying, and what has happened is that we've tried to be emotional about Sundays River instead of being realistic and separating the community from the challenges we face. We're going in to help the communities and rectifying four particular projects in the Sundays River. We've also selected other projects across the province that are going to be targets for rectification by the province. The national department, we signed an SLA in February between myself and the DG, and they're going to assign and allocate funding to do the actual rectification between us and KwaZulu-Natal as pilots to see to test if it's going to work. Chair, I don't know if I should go through all the questions that were raised that affect the Eastern Cape. Job creation, we estimate a number of 9,012 jobs to be created through our program. We are conservatively estimating the numbers, Honorable Chair, because we don't want to, there is the rectification program that we're expecting from, so we're expecting the minimum number of jobs to be created will be 9,012. Chair, our backlog in the Eastern Cape is 750,000 units, 750,000 units. Buffalo City alone is 70,000 units is the backlog. Under the USDG, we do have money allocated for bulk, Honorable Chair, for Buffalo City, which is going to help us unpack the Duncan Village challenge. There was a question raised regarding how temporal is a temporal shelter. I think that was actually the question, rather than to say when do you create permanent structures. Mm. Honorable Chair, we just had I don't know if you have been seeing it in the media, the challenge in Butterwood, where people were displaced off a site that's been allocated for a shopping mall. We put that 291 families into a factory, and we spent a week helping the municipality to identify land, and we're currently erecting the 291 temporary shelters for that community. The next question is, how do we create a permanent solution for those families? The first answer we got from the municipality and from the district was that there's no land. The chiefs own the land around Batuwood. When we done an investigation, within a week we realized that the Department of Local Government actually owns farms around Batuwood. So I think a lot of the issues around land, we just need to do our homework as officials in these towns. I think it's easier to answer and say there's no land rather than for us to investigate. So spending a week in that particular town made us uncover that there is land. And the challenge is getting that community not to be temporal for 2 years, but rather to say, let's immediately start a program of designing a settlement for them. The one community member is 104 years old, who was displaced by the bulldozing of that particular company.
We have got a challenge of cooperatives. Can you tell us, just not in deep detail, just a summary?
Thank you.
That is a requirement, in fact, for all the provinces. They have to tell us a story about the housing cooperative. State of the Nation address, in fact, even before, long before, we should have started that program. So, just a brief summary.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, what we're doing as a province, let me first answer the question direct and give the scenario. In Kala, we've handed over a project to cooperatives and emerging contractors. But what we are saying is that you'll find in cooperatives, not all of them are business-minded. So rather, instead of giving them an allocation of 50 each, give them 10 each. When they finish, you then give them the next 10. Because what we notice with the emerging contractors, they speak very well in meetings. And then they also come and make good excuses in meetings of why they didn't go on site and why they bought a car instead of building the house. So I think it's a matter of being realistic on balancing what is it that we want. Do we want to make sure that the houses are delivered, or do we want to promote emerging contractors and cooperatives? But we absolutely support the government prerogative of saying we must support cooperatives, we must support emerging contractors. Where we are challenged, or as a department we are falling short, is to make sure that we monitor them rather than listening. Honorable Chair, I always say that we must take confidence with competence, and trying to strike a balance to help them to follow through on projects with a monitoring exercise. Honorable Chair, just on a broad issue regarding the Eastern Cape, we are currently designing a new service delivery model. What we've got is the Eastern Cape is using a shotgun approach currently. We just shoot at everything and hope the bullet lands on the target. What we are saying is we rather get attacked for not doing everything, but being able to answer that that's what we've done and select particular areas. The service delivery model is going to target, if the slide can just go back. I'll just be 2 minutes, Chair.
Okay.
Go back. The service delivery model, if you go down, what we are saying is that the way in which we do business, our project management units, their current focus is that every single in the districts, you've got a project manager who's got to also deal with the provincial admin. We're going to separate that.
Salimund, don't forget to tell us that. Salimund, the project, Tile Alfred Dinzo.
Ezinya Azino, who ya go?
No, it's true.
Tell it direction, Walapa Gold. Honorable Chair, what we're saying is let's separate. We want happy letters out of the project managers. We want happy letters. Now, the Eastern Cape is very robust when it comes to politics. So you find our own officials starting to challenge us on what do you mean happy letters? Are you not talking about human settlements? Should we not enter the debate? We're saying no. Your job, our MEC and the legislature, they will debate the human settlements. Your job is to implement and generate happy letters. So we are focusing on happy letters. What we've done is in KSD, if you go down, we've asked the last second to last slide. In KSD, there's a BNG project. We are putting 85 million into 6,500 P1 and P2 planning, so that we know in 3 years' time that there'll be 6,500 or a potential of 6,500 units. The Eastern Cape, the challenge we have, Honorable Chair and members, we try to do everything in 1 year. we try to plan, put in services, and build the top structure all in 1 year because we're chasing targets. It's absolutely impossible. So what happens, we end up coming towards the end of the financial year and we invent beautiful phrases like Siangoba and fast track and accelerated. You can't accelerate the setting of Daga. You can't do that. It's got to set, it's got to mature. So we're saying let's slow the department down and rather be attacked for slowing it down and letting it function as an institution that is able to deliver. We're also saying, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that in the Eastern Cape, once you separate what is real and what's not real, because everybody, we're all intelligent in the department, but nobody's clever. So we're trying to separate what needs to be the discussion, and the discussion we are saying, let's focus on the political priorities that we've been given of the province, and let's make sure that we meet the expectations of the community. Thank you.
Can you assist us? In Kakadu, Makana is in Kakadu.
Yes.
But seemingly you have nothing to say about Kakadu, I mean about Makana. Because to my understanding, you do have a huge challenge in Makana. We are still using the bucket system there. And at the same time, there are houses that we built, the state subsidy houses there. They don't have adequate sanitation. Because I don't think it's proper if you are talking about that and then you leave other. Because we know that project you are referring to, the one in Thornhill. But I think you still have huge challenges. But okay, let's forget about it. We are going to come back to you. We are visiting Eastern Cape. The Portfolio Committee is going to make a follow-up visit from the previous visit, and we are going to also visit the hotspot. So you want us to provide us the necessary information.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the presenter. I just hope it's not going to be a case for us of mistaking confidence with competence, because that presentation was very confidently made. Chair, having said that, I note what the presenter said about the necessity of having emerging contractors and also them being competent. But my immediate question, and it links to the presentation from NHBRC, that very few subsidized houses are in fact registered with them. Now, similarly, across the country, but similarly, building contractors should be registered with NHBRC. And I'd like to think that when they're registered with NHBRC, whether they're emerging or not, that they should be competent. So it's something that needs to be addressed. It would appear then that contractors are being given contracts and they're not competent, or they may not even be registered. Then, again to the presenter, my experience has been that the production of a happy letter is not necessarily doesn't necessarily mean that things have gone well, because I have interacted with beneficiaries that have not seen their houses, but in order to get the key they are forced to sign a happy letter. So it's no guarantee that things are right. And then lastly, Chair, just a comment on the plan and delivery in the same year. I can remember, and perhaps I'll refresh your memory and some of the previous committee members as well, when we used to grill the department because of the erratic expenditure and delivery, where they generally seem to deliver towards the end of a financial year. The excuse that was given was that houses that they deliver this year, they planned 3 years ago. And it was a legitimate excuse, because you have to plan ahead and you then deliver. But we seem to be getting the opposite here today. So again, Chair, it tends to leave one with the feeling of that we're being sort of fed information that people think we want to hear. Thank you, Chair.
No, you are not. You are not, Honourable Member. Mr. Pickland?
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay. Chairperson, I just want to say thank you for the honesty from
from the province. The other issue that I want to bring in, Chairperson, is the issue of the co-ops. I mean, if somebody as a contractor failed the first time, why do you give that person a second time, a second chance? In Kala, I'm living there. That's my home. There is more than 800 houses that have been vandalized, and those houses are there for 4 or 5 years. So that is why I want to respond on this. And I'm happy that you are saying the province is given the projects to the national department, then they can assist me. The other issue that I want to raise, Chairperson, is the ratification in Thakazat, where there is a lot of shady work that is done, and again the same contractor is rectifying those houses. They're doing the worst work that ever a person can see. But I'm happy that the department is taking over from national. Thank you, Chair.
Mine directed to Mr. Shapley, together with DG. To be specific, in Kiskamau. I didn't give him the DG the photos because it's bad. Now that the HOD is saying they are not aware how many houses need to be certified, no, it's clear. But we were doing an oversight at Mount Elif, which is very bad. We were doing them and also in Mantrap. The problem is that after the month, we are going to see that on TV again. Usually they just keep 2 months. Or 1 month, and same thing, our improvement. We were there to 2009, 2010, 2011. I know that I was asked by the school, but I don't know whether it will take you maybe a year to know how many of them the house needed and everything. Thanks.
I want to say the same thing about the minute.
No, it's going to be a very simple question. I know the place he's talking about in Kaikamahu. It's the one I told the department one time that because of the low quality of the houses, the people who had applied from the villages did not go there. They sent their children. And later on, the social life in that place was typical of a place where young people live. And they decided to call it a Mangazani. You remember?
Okay.
My question is about those people who are in the deep rural areas, if I might call it that way, as Lali. There's quite a number of people as Lali who qualify, you know, to be given accommodation by the government. But at the same time, some of those people, if not all of them, do not necessarily want to move away from those villages and go and live in a new settlement that has been created. They want to stay right there in those villages where the chief has given them some land on which to build a home which they cannot afford to build. What is the position in this regard? Is the department prepared to build houses for those people right there in the village where, for instance, they have land on which to put up their houses?
Okay. Can I make a plea to the honorable members in terms of the detailed report on the rectification that you are going to receive it? You have got it. So let's not pin them down to make that presentation, because it's going to be our own news. So let's accept that they're going to receive it, because talent is chosen one by one. Very interesting. But the issue of temporal structure, members would recall that the Eastern Cape, they bought, they purchased 8,000 temporal units for 2009. And there was also another set of temporal structures that were expected to be purchased on top of that aid. So it sounds very funny to hear that they are unable to accommodate 250, and yet the money was spent to purchase those 8,000 units, and there was a study again to purchase more. So I think that question is also going to relate to other provinces, because we've been to KZN, abantu bahlala kwa Martin House. We've been to Gauteng, abantu bahlala kwa Martin House. If then is into Gala, no, we can't put our people where do is in Jenny. So I think we need to have the information with what is going on. And kule issue of salsa abantu for temporal arrangements, I don't think for more than 5 years you can call that a temporal arrangement. So these things, we have to be sensitive when we are dealing with them. But today, but don't get into details, because we are expecting to have that information.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Oh, sorry, the issue of Butterworth, we are, you are watching Gosoleko Landa DG, and I think DG Masukbong with your initiative, because Kalok Tinara is in the way with the receive, but they are Georgia members of their Vumis. So, there's a Georgia, you see, committee, and then we related this matter to DG to say, DG, can you go there and check? So, DG, we appreciate what you have done, but my name is Telila. Make a follow up until such time and that thing is resolved. So someone is in the subject of the house.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You're absolutely correct. There's still people from National that are in Butterworth helping us with the. We are accommodating, Chair, with the last question, all 291.
Okay.
We are building the 291 shelters for that community.
Okay.
We actually, our MEC set a date of the 20th of this month to complete.
Right.
I've been trying to say we might not finish. She says, no, you will finish. So we brought in extra deployments to help us. Honorable members, the rural housing.
Okay.
because I do think that there was a problem there. The issue that I wanted to raise, that there, surely you knew that those people were going to be evicted at a certain point in time. And then I would have hoped that you were going to accommodate them before the private sector who bought the site evicted them. Because it's one thing for things to happen, but it's one thing when the national TV covers the problem. It may not be an issue for you as administration, of course, but it's a bigger problem for political leadership. Sure, the MEC must be the most worried person if he's worried about this matter. Because I do think that was embarrassing, in fact. And then was just uncalled for, because the department was there. Surely, those people who went there to reclaim their site, they have communicated with their local authorities. Surely, they didn't just go there and evict people. I think there are a lot of processes. I'm raising it just at the point of just protesting, really, that I think is very bad. And hopefully, anyway, it won't happen again, really, in the same case, because I think it was very embarrassing for all of us. For a 104 years old person, what she was saying, really, was much more damaging to political leadership, anyway, more than the administrative leadership. Right? I guess that there's no harm, generally, sometimes that happens to administrative leadership. You can do whatever you want. But the damage that happened to the political leadership in that province, in my view, was very harsh for them, given the fact, anyway, that that was a situation. But it was a sad thing, anyway.
So, the issue of the moratorium, I think Honorable Sisulu once put the moratorium of selling of land by the municipalities to the private sector. So I don't know which If you don't put pressure on that one, you're going to have a problem. If the municipalities, continues to sell the state land to the private sector, we are going to encounter problems until you put up your foot down. I think the minister has to revert back to the Honorable Sisulu's position to say all the municipalities must stop selling the land for the development of human settlements.
Thank you. The points are taken, Honorable Chair. Makana, yes, Honorable Chair, Makana, we are fortunate that the municipality cooperates with the department. There's a 2,300 project, a new project. I think it's called Valley View. I'm sorry, I don't think I'm getting the name absolutely correct. But we are talking to the municipal manager to initiate that project. There are five projects in Makana that have got problems.
Uh-huh.
And what we're saying is we want to run a parallel process in Makana to introduce the new projects, but also then to start addressing the old ones. Kakadu, the regional director, resigned last month. We've put in one of a seasoned official to go and act there rather than going through a process of recruitment so that we can have a head office intervention into that. Emerging contractors are registered with NHBRC. The challenge, honorable members and honorable chair, is that what's on paper and what people are actually able to do sometimes does not is not the same. You'll find that someone qualifies, they have all the paperwork, and we've had a situation where there was a contractor who built beautiful houses in another province and came and built shoddy houses in our province. We are in the process of blacklisting contractors, following the lead of Limpopo.
Yes,
we got a good signal from Limpopo on how to go about it, so we're going to... We also have a problem in the Eastern Cape of recycling contractors. They come up and they're members of five companies. So the NHBRC registration is mandatory. There's not a single project that's approved without an NHBRC certificate and also without the necessary tax clearances. I have taken note, honorable members, of the Kala, the Takastat, and the Kaiskamahoek, Mount Aleph, Mount Frere projects.
And
Matatia. Okay. The rural housing, what we've done as a province is twofold. We have launched a pilot in Mhlonhlo, which is the Kumbu Mount Frere area, and in Matatiel, coincidentally, Chair, on a voucher scheme. We are saying...
Mount Frere.
We've launched a voucher scheme where we're saying we're going to give the communities vouchers where they will buy their own material and build their own houses. That's the one experiment we're doing. The other experiment is in Port St. John's, where we're actually physically building on the Nwiwa of the community. We think we don't want to reproduce townships in the rural areas, but build on their site. The difference in norms and standards is that you put a water tank, and there's different norms of and standards that relate to that. So we are addressing the rural housing. We not take rolling it out on a big scale because we want to test. The problem with our province, if you do something on a big scale and there's lessons that need to be learned, you've made a big mess.
Mm.
Rather experiment, learn the lessons, also especially from the public participation, and then start rolling it out into the rest of the province. Thank you.
Valley, Eastern Cape, let's take the other one. Okay.
Did I hear correctly that the presenter said that there's not a single project that is not registered with NHBRC? Because that's a contradiction to what we got from NHBRC, so I want confirmation, Chair.
Oh, I'm sure he has not answered the project that are enrolled. He has answered that the contractors are all registered. But I think the issue of enrollment is very critical because the NHBRC once came before the portfolio committee and reported that in Eastern Cape and there's another province, they reported that they have a problem. The projects are not enrolled with the NHBRC, because if they are enrolled with NHBRC, we won't be spending so much in rectification, because they are, it means they are insured to the NHBRC. So it means NHBRC would be failing to do their job of inspection. So Eastern Cape was one of the countries that were mentioned to say they are not enrolling their projects. If you can just respond to that one.
My apology, Honorable Chair. That's absolutely correct. There are projects that we have challenges enrolling, and the challenge we have is that even the NHBRC has capacity problems. Their project managers will say, go ahead and build the project, and they only inspect on completion, and then they refuse to enroll because they say it's shoddy work. We are saying is there's a new relationship we're establishing with NHBRC where they've got to inspect the project from the foundation. They must come and inspect it from the foundation. That's the one challenge we face. The other challenge we face is that the service level agreement between us and the NHBRC, there's always a not meeting of minds with the NHBRC on what we expect from them, because they play the role of enforcer and regulator rather than coming to help us to make sure that we build houses for the community. There is a new CEO. I'm a new HOD. We are talking with the DG to try and improve the relationship.
Okay. Hi, man. But DG, I think you are the one who has to take a lead on that. You can't have a referee and a player. Review a mandate, double check a mandate for NHBRC. What is the mandate of the NHBRC? And what we are saying, the inspectors of the NHBRC, they are not the superiors of that world. I do believe that the provinces do have the inspectors. Even in one of your presentations, one said you are going to appoint inspectors to assist you. The municipalities, they do have. What do we need there? We need a coordinated arrangement so that whatever product we deliver there, it has to be inspected in a coordinated session. We can't allow people to be ahead of other people, but we have to work closely with each other. We are working as partners, and people have to get advices even from other people. They have to listen from other people and get advices. Otherwise, we are going to have a challenge, a huge challenge. So, DG, can you please just take a lead on that issue? Thank you. Let's say Eastern Cape and Nelson Mandela. That's Telegrams. Okay, everything is fine. Go reach who pay them to what? Oh, that's the amnandi. Let us see man up. I wonder if Southman are not on the ground. First stop. Sabonu does not handle that. Access is bonil. People have got happy letters. They enforce with my last time. When we get in, I want something else. We called the project manager. How do you call that list that you tick, you tick? That sheet. It was ticked 100%. Everything was there. And then the owner of the house was told to say, I don't know whether the owner or somebody was told to say, don't ever, ever show this thing to these people. And unfortunately, they told him, Ukona is new members. And then the member said, bring it now, bring it now. And then when we looked at it, it was signed. But there were no connections in that house. So please, as the Mazinga is the minimum daughter, is office thing. You are not employed to be in the office. The office in Doya Kaisha. And it's Mr. N7 even after hours. Unfortunately, the committee on my life. So we unfortunately, because all of us were been given the task. Look, change your mind. And once you change your mind, sell it office. Once you change your mind, let's go there, out there. Someone who changes the answer. So that is my mother's part of your information. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, let's continue. They say, hey, province.
Comfort break.
Then, by the way, it's 5 minutes. No, I'm not going to have a release. 5 minutes, comfort break.
Thank you, members. There were four questions that were raised in relation to our province, but maybe the first one that I need to address is the alignment in terms of outcomes. One would notice that there is a very low in terms of our rental, purely because of the nature of the province and the demand. But Chairperson, I must indicate that moving forward, the planning that has commenced, we have no less than 1,692 units across the province that we have planned to actually deal with the shortfall on the rentals. Another issue that was raised was the issue of where does the balance of the money go to. All the projects, we've got a detailed project list that we have committed already for the 2011 financial year that has been emailed to yourself. Where we indicate where all the rural projects are, they are grouped to districts and per municipalities. There was a specific issue that related to the service stands, that the budget that is indicated there indicates that we're going to spend more money on servicing of stands. Chairperson, that's a very accurate observation, but I must indicate that the money that is reflected there is purely because of the nature of the business plan. We have also included money there that will cover the servicing of the 19 informal settlements, of the planning of the 19 informal settlements that will prioritize the development in the province. So it is purely because the business plan is based on the format that is given to human settlements by Treasury. There was no place to actually accommodate the planning aspect of the informal settlements there. There was also an issue, Chairperson, that relates to job creation. During 2010-2011, in Limpopo, we created 2,867 jobs, and that is in line with the budget. We also registered them with expanded public works. But also for 2011, we are creating more than 4,000 jobs as per the budget that is allocated to us. In terms of the issue of rectification, there was another specific question posed to Limpopo. The answer is, you are correct, member, the observation is right. We do not have a rectification program in Limpopo, and it's purely based on the definition of what is rectification. In terms of the human settlement approach, the rectification would focus on projects that were built, that were undertaken prior to the NHDRC being a part of the department or being established. So our focus in terms of the delivery in the province, Chairperson, is largely to look at the projects that have been blocked. So it means the projects that are after the 2002. So they had a lengthy debate at the human settlement level, and I think the approach was that while National is focusing on prioritizing the ratification, we need to actually continue to deal with the issues of blocked projects. Chairperson, I have here a list that has also been forwarded to you of all the blocked projects that we have identified in the province and the progress in terms of all those projects that we have unblocked to date. There was an area of where the a question of where the 3,000 stands are in Limpopo. Those that were servicing, are they in the entire province? The answer to that is that the 3,000 stands that were targeted for 2011, they are in Greater Tupasi, that is in your Sikukune district, and they are also in Zanin in Mopani district. For 2010, we had stands in Pulukwane and also a few in Zanin. Chair and honourable members, the biggest challenge that the province is facing, particularly in relation to the servicing of stands and the realisation of outcome aid, in terms of upgrading of informal settlements that are at them located, is the issue of bulk and aging infrastructure. And we knew that as a province, we're not going to lament on the problem, so we had taken a very proactive measure of engaging the Development Bank of South Africa, where, as we are sitting here, Chairperson, I'm happy to announce that all our municipalities in the Popo have actually signed mandate agreements in terms of including their water treatment work. You know that when you look at the COCTA report, we are the second lowest province in terms of our sanitation level, purely because of the issue of bulk. So we are looking at that, and once that issue is addressed, we should be able to actually unblock that. But the second issue as well is the availability in terms of the bulk itself. That is one main reason that through this committee, the human settlement would have allocated us more funds to look at the Talale, to actually install bulk and sewer. So the issue of bulk in the urban areas in Limpopo is a huge one. This is why, while we're not running away from it or addressing it, but we also have to continue to prioritize areas where there is a real need, which is in our rural areas, because they provide a house, but then you also provide a relevant sanitation facility in the form of VIP. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Honourable members, Mr. Stein, Honourable Bowman, Honourable Doris, Honourable Mashesha, thank you.
Chair, a question was raised about the definition of rectification, which has certainly confused me now, so I don't know what it is anymore either. Does the presenter say that in terms of their definition, and in terms of that province, rectification is only projects prior to 2002, and anything thereafter is where there's work to be done, whether it's blocked or whether it's incomplete or whether it's shoddy workmanship? What exactly would that fall under then? And then, Chair, does in Limpopo, do they in fact approve projects and continue to work with them, allocate them to contractors if they have not budgeted for those projects? In other words, do they have situations where they've got projects that are ongoing that they will pay for in the next budget year? Or do they have to budget for that project and ring-fence it and then pay as the work progresses? Thank you.
Honourable Bowman.
Thank you, Chairperson. If the, we could know what your backlogs are, that would help us. And then the other thing is the question about your beneficiaries. Do you know the profile of your beneficiaries in your informal settlements?
Honourable
Doris? I'm covered by Honourable Stein, Chairperson.
Honourable Mashusha?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think even if I'm covered, I just want to check. She talked about the Lepalale, because Lepalale is part of the rural areas. What about Mokopane? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Okay.
I have to object to the member saying she's been covered by me.
I think we do have a challenge. We can't expect the province to understand in the higher education. We can't have that situation. Because in rectification, you rectify umsebenzi owenziwe ngendlela engafanelekanga. So that thing is not accepted. I think you should have discussed that. That is not a good impression. Because we have been to Limpopo. Sai, na masa siya ni. Siya zaba na ziplock project. Siya zuguti izindu za kona kone steni ne. But what we are saying, rectification, it's a political program, whether we like it or not, because there are certain reasons why we find ourselves today in this mess, and we have to rectify that. So in the one when my government was because we have been asking as this portfolio committee, when are we going to stop rectifying these houses? And guys, it's about the very London. Ni na baza September, unya upanzi ni. Is it level two this year? Kobarolo ni nzima ni zake only 6 months ago. As we will rectify, but you say go denial. If we make denial, which means you are going to be called now a change of president at your department of rectification. You are the department of building, human settlements, cohesive and sustainable communities. Definitions. So my address, because this is a serious problem. And we're not going to accept it as this portfolio committee. Ubana case in Lungu, as an Izakango
Chair, on Mokopane, there is a project in Mokopane Extension 20 where we've dealt with the issue of services. In fact, it's part of the business plan in terms of dealing with that gap market, the one that was reflected there. So there is the issue of infrastructure, there is not that much of a huge challenge. On the issue of the profiles of beneficiaries and the backlog, our backlog is about 390,000. And the issue of coffers of beneficiaries, yes, we did the demand database of all the major growth points municipalities. So we do have a sense of who needs what in the province, and that is what informs our allocation. On the approved projects, in terms of the ring fencing and the paying, we definitely do put projects on budget before we implement. So we do pay for what would be on our budget for the next initial year.
Okay. Kona ngaphendula ngombuzo wakhe, Mr. Sain. Uthi, is your question answered? Or you were not listening?
I was listening, Chair, but
I'm getting contradictory information. From the national department, you get something. From the province, you get exactly the opposite, just like with the rectification. And then I just want to query the backlog. 390,000 for a province like Limpopo sounds far too high. I'm not sure if that's correct. But if the presenter can confirm, she said that they do budget for projects that are ongoing, and that so there should be money available when that project comes to an end and you've approved it. You shouldn't have a situation where a contractor then waits for to be paid from the following financial year's budget.
Any challenge is nice. Your project is there too. They don't have a project cycle. There is no lifespan. Why aren't you? Tell her why. Neighbor? When are you setting up this unit? When are you setting up the unit?
The unit, Chair, is set to
it's
some
on.
Degree. Yes, we have that gentleman right there at the corner.
Oh.
Who introduced himself as Mr. Ngozi.
Oh.
He's the one that is setting up that unit together with the provinces. So
okay.
We are in the initial stage.
Okay.
It's set.
Okay.
It's in the first phase.
Oh.
That will then assist with project cycles.
Okay.
And monitoring and evaluation of projects throughout the country.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sain, I don't think that your question really needs answer. Yeah. Yes, you won't get it today. You won't get it today. You want to explain?
Yes.
Okay.
In terms of the size of the project, we definitely have clear time frames for so 100 units, 200 units, and 300 units. We have different time frames. But where there may be delays in terms of paying specific contractors, it would be largely areas, Chairperson, where there would be issues that would need to be cleared, particularly legal issues. And when it's terminated, obviously, in some cases, when one has terminated, the due process has to be followed after the termination in terms of ensuring that the reconciliation is done. That's the only case where the payment in terms of that process does not get completed within that year. And in those few isolated incidences, that is what we actually forward at the end of the financial to indicate that this is what we are foreseeing in terms of these few carryovers, but they are very limited. But in terms of the new organic projects, they are all planned for, as I indicated.
Okay. Thank you. Let's take the... Which province are we going to take? And then we go out for... Which next? Northwest. My mind is Northwest. As I say, I'm then there for 5 minutes. Then we come back. My time is 11:20. 25 past, let's come back.
I'm
Thank you. they approve the money, but they don't have it. They're paying out of the new budget for work done previously.